Appreciate your presence this morning, especially the visitors. We welcome you and we're happy that you're here. We hope that you want to come back and be with us again. Appreciate the good Bible study and the good singing and the prayers. A wonderful day. It's warmer and that's good. We'd like to study this morning on the subject, angry words, oh let them never. Yes, the Bible teaches us about anger, and this is a beautiful song that we sing named Angry Words, or in the songbook here it's called Love One Another. In some songbooks it's Angry Words, number 394 in our songbook, and they're very important lessons that we can learn from the words of this song, and of course from the Word of God, and what it teaches us about anger. Now we can be angry and not sin. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Of course, Jesus Christ himself was angry at times in the temple. He cast some out of the temple and overturned the tables. He rebuked the Pharisees because of their hypocrisy. But of course, he always had a good reason to be angry. And we as Christians, we need to be careful. We know that when we obeyed the gospel of Christ, became a Christian, we put on certain things like love and mercy and meekness and humility and forgiveness. But there are things that we're to put off. In Colossians 3 and verse 8, Paul says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And so anger is one of the things that we're to put off. We become a new person with a new life. My wife and I, we've been married over 59 years now, and I can't tell you that we've never had an argument, that we've never been angry with one another, because we have, I'm sure, many times had anger and said things to one another maybe we shouldn't have. But we always forgive one another and forget what has been said or what happened. And so when you marry, you make a commitment, and you have to overlook things sometimes when you don't agree. And so angry words, let them never. It's a favorite song of many with valuable advice. We notice the first verse of that song. Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. Love one another. The second verse, love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far for a moment's reckless folly thus to desolate and mar. Love one another. The third verse, angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Love one another. And so there are many good thoughts in these verses of this song. We as Christians, we need to learn to bridle our tongue. We know that a horse, you put a bridle on it to control it. We need to control our tongues and be careful what we say. Many times we may say things and then we wished later on that we hadn't said that we might have hurt their feelings by what we said. James said in James 3 and verse 2 beginning, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. We know that the fire, just a little fire, can destroy thousands of acres of land, of timber. The tongue can be very destructive. It's like a fire. And we need to bridle our tongue and be careful what we say. The tongue is powerful. It's difficult to control. It has the power to control the whole body. It reflects the true expression of the inward man. Usually what comes out of our mouth and what we say comes from the heart. It can show the kind of person that we are by what we say. In Matthew 12 and verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And so it's out of our heart, it's the things that we say. And so is our heart pure? Do we have a good and honest heart? The tongue has power to do good or evil, depending upon what we say. In Matthew 12 and verse 35, says, A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And so what we say determines whether we are a good person or an evil person. We can turn away wrath or stir up anger by what we say, our reaction. I remember many years ago, my next door neighbor, I burned a little trash in the backyard and I left and one of the sparks flew over into our neighbor. They had a swimming pool, and they had some kind of inflated something in the pool. And that spark hit that object in the pool and made a hole in it, and it leaked the air out. When I came home, he was very upset. I could see that he was angry. But I spoke carefully to him. I apologized for what had happened, and I offered to pay for what had happened. And so a soft answer. We notice here in Proverbs 15 and verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And so when someone is upset with us, angry at us, let's give a soft answer to turn away that wrath. The tongue can use knowledge wisely or pour out forth foolishness. Yes, it can be used as a wise instrument to teach and to edify, or we can speak foolish things. In Proverbs 15 and verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And so we show the kind of person that we are by what we say. Are we wise or are we foolish? The tongue can be a tree of life, or a breaker of spirits. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 15 and 4, A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but the perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And so it can be like a tree of life or a breaker of spirits. Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lips. And so let's check the words that we say, that they don't soil our lips. Let's think before we say something. A lot of times we just say whatever comes out of the mouth. We don't really think before we speak. And if we don't think, then we're likely to say something that we shouldn't. Also, it's so easy to say something that we shouldn't be saying. We may hurt others' feelings by what we say. We notice the advantages of restraint. It can avoid sin if we restrain from saying those things that will hurt others. In Proverbs 10 and verse 19, In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And so many times we need to refrain our lips. Control our tongue. It's the wise thing to do. It'll keep us out of trouble. In Proverbs 21 and verse 23, Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And so if we control our tongue, it'll keep us from getting into trouble. Restraining our tongue may make us appear to be wise. Yes, sometimes if we just keep quiet, a person might think that we're wiser than we are. I remember some of the old Western shows many years ago. The hero, the star of the show, he didn't do a lot of talking, but there was a lot of action. In Proverbs 17 and verse 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. And so sometimes we're better off if we stay quiet. We need to be careful what we say. Yes, things that will teach, things that will edify, things that will build up. Certainly we should speak those things. Uncontrolled tongues can destroy friendships. Many friendships have been broken because of what was said. In Psalms 55, verse 12 beginning, notice the psalmist said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither is it he that hateth me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. He took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." And so here David was upset because it was his friend that had reproached him. It wasn't his enemy. And so we need to be careful what we say to our friends especially. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Yes, we can be angry. We might just say one word. You might say liar and cause that person to become very upset, angry with you. One angry word can destroy a friendship. How then shall we use the tongue? We should use it for good. Our words can be sweet to the soul. In Proverbs 16 and verse 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. Pleasant words, good words, words that will edify, encourage, are the things that we need to say. It's a thing of beauty. In Proverbs 25 and verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Yes, a beautiful ornament, a beautiful thing when we speak those things that are good. But if we use our tongue for evil, then beware. We'll be judged by our words. We're going to have to give an account for every word that we speak. I read once where if you had to pay money for each word that you use, say you had to pay a dime, we'd be a lot more careful what we said. We probably wouldn't be using as many words. In Matthew 12 and verse 36 and 37, "But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And so we see that when we stand before the Lord in the judgment, we're going to give an account for the words that we speak. If we use our tongue for evil, we will defile our bodies. And James 3 and verse 6 says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body. It setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell." And so the tongue can be deadly. It can be poisonous if we don't use it rightly. To encourage the proper use of the tongue, the song in verse 2 and the chorus reminds us. It says, "Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far for a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and mar. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command." Yes, love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too important for us to use angry words toward them. We notice the importance of friendship and love, the blessings of friendship. Yes, it's important that we have friends, that we love others. Some of the most beautiful scriptures in the Bible were expressions between friends. For example, Ruth loved her mother-in-law, Naomi. And notice what she said to her mother-in-law. In Ruth 1, verse 16, 17, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught put death, part thee and me." And so she was determined to go with Naomi, her mother-in-law, and to live with her because of love that she had for her. And she would love her God also. We notice Jonathan's devotion to his friend David. Now, Jonathan was the son of Saul, the king. Jonathan could have been the next king, but he was not envious of David. But he helped David, helped save his life. David became the king and not Jonathan. But we notice how close they were. In 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1, "It came to pass that when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Jonathan loved him as his own soul." And so they were very close friends. They loved one another, and they helped one another. Saul tried to kill David on different occasions. Also, Jesus' love for his disciple John. We see the friendship between Jesus and John. In John 19, verse 25 through 27, it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." Yes, we see here the friendship, the love between Jesus and John, the apostle. He asked John to take his mother home and take care of her. We see the love here. Paul's love for Timothy. Timothy was a young preacher of the gospel. He traveled with Paul, and they were persecuted. But Paul thought of Timothy as his son in the faith. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 1 through 4, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." And so we see how close Paul and Timothy were. They loved one another. They appreciated one another. They enjoyed being with one another. Good friends provide wonderful benefits. A true friend is a man for all seasons. A true friend does not forsake you. He stands by you at all times. In Proverbs 17, verse 17, "A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity." Yes, when the going gets tough or when there's trouble, your friend stands with you. A true friend can be closer than blood relatives. In Proverbs 18 and verse 24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Yes, what a friend we have in Jesus. He is our friend. The rebuke of a true friend is better than the praise of an enemy. Sometimes it might be necessary to rebuke a friend. Let him know that what he's doing is not right, and he needs to correct that. In Proverbs 27 and verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Yes, they're deceitful. The advice of a true friend can be precious. In Proverbs 27 and verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Yes, he gives good counsel to his friend. Seek to hang on to good friends. In Proverbs 27 and verse 10, says, thine own friend, thy father's friend, forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. And so our friends, our father's friends, he says, don't forsake them. Continue to be their friends. Love is much too pure and holy, friendship too sacred far, for a moment's reckless folly, thus too desolate and mar. The need to love one another. Our Savior teaches us to do so. Yes, we're to love one another and care for one another. A new commandment, he said, to love as he loved us. In John 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so when people see us together, can they see that we have love for one another? The love is a blessed command. Love will avoid offending others. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and 5, charity or love suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Yes, love is and is not. He said, love suffers long. That is, it's patient. We're patient with one another, like a mother is patient with her baby. Love is kind, being kind to one another. Love doesn't envy, not jealous of others' fortune. Love doesn't parade itself. It doesn't brag or boast. Love isn't puffed up. It's not arrogant. Love doesn't behave rudely, inconsiderate. And so if we love others, one another, we're not going to be rude or unkind to them. Love will not allow loose words to offend it. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 through 8, love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love or charity never faileth, but whether the prophecies they shall fail, whether there be tongues they shall cease, whether there be knowledge it shall vanish away. Love doesn't seek its own. It's not selfish, not defensive. Love is not provoked. It's not sensitive. Yes, we need to be careful that we don't become offended at others. Love thinks no evil. It assumes the best intention. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but in the truth. Love bears all things. It puts up with snide remarks. Love believes all things. It gives others the benefit of the doubt. Love hopes all things. It looks for the best in others. Love endures all things. Yes, unkind words. Love never fails. It is patient. is forgiveness. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey his blessed command. Friendship is too holy to let loose words in reckless moments destroy us. Sometimes a person, they may be tired, they may be sick, and they may say something that offends us. We must be willing to forgive, especially between brethren in Christ, whose love is to be a mark of true discipleship. In John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. True love values friendship so highly that it will resolve to say nothing unnecessary endangers our friendship, to let nothing that is said, no matter how hurtful, to destroy our friendship. We can't let anything destroy that friendship. May this song, Angry Words, Oh Let Them Never, serve to remind us of the blessing and duty that we have regarding our love and friendship as Christians. Yes, angry words, let's not them slip from our mouth. Let's be careful what we say. Love one another as Christ loved us. And if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, God loved you so much that he was willing to let his son Jesus suffer and die on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood. It's up to you to obey the gospel. You must have faith and believe that he is. You must repent of all your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And when you're baptized, your sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. The Lord will add you to his church. And if you live a faithful Christian life, you can go home to heaven. And so if you're in any way subject to the gospel call, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song.